Hello.
Greetings.
Greetings and salutations.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. So everybody's
How's it going?
here and everybody's not tardy. Well, I
Can you
guess we're
believe it?
5 minutes tardy, but I was
That's
trying to
not too
warm.
bad. Everybody but you.
Yeah, it's because I was trying to prepare some pancakes.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't make them, but I had to put stuff on them.
What were you putting on your pancakes?
Confectioner
Caca.
sugar and butter and syrup.
Caca.
No, caca.
Caca pancakes. Oh boy.
That's iPad.
iPad pancakes.
Caca iPad.
Caca iPad of pancakes. I don't know what I just joined here.
So I got more people telling me, like people that listen to the podcast, what's going on with DCBS? I mean, a lot of unhappy people.
Oh man, it's well. You know what I wanted to mention to you about Astonisher? I don't know. Did you mean I don't know if you're caught up or not? But that's one of the Lionforge books. Do you have 1, 2, 3, and 4, or are you missing number 3?
I'll check it.
Because number 3, as far as I can see, I keep my previews for quite a bit, and then I finally toss them. As far as I can see, number 3 was never solicited in previews anywhere.
Oh, wow.
But it still came out.
Did you get it?
Not from DCBS. I ended up just getting it from my comic shop. But even in Comic Base, number 3 is missing, as it goes right from 2 to 4 in Comic Base.
Interesting. Well, I noticed that they're doing weird stuff with Chapter House too.
They came out with 2 issues of a title last this past week.
It's like I got like 5 issues or 6 issues of a
Oh yeah,
title.
well they released like everything in 1 week, but Northgard number 1 and Northgard number 2 both came out on Wednesday.
And another one too.
Oh
I
yeah, a
saw
lot
two
of
of
other
them.
titles did. Yeah,
No,
a lot
but
of
a
other.
lot of how there was another title
Oh,
that had
doubled.
two. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know what their issue is. I think it has to do with distribution or
Well,
shipping or
I
something,
think in
but
terms of Chapter House, it's Chapter House's fault.
yeah, oh, definitely so.
I don't know what's going on with DC, but if it wasn't in previews, what do you do?
Right. Yeah, that's not a DCBS issue either. With that Astonisher, if that's the case.
In my
I mean,
comic
I have
shop,
it on my pull list, so it's not like it wouldn't have pulled. It just was not in previews. Number 3 didn't show up anywhere.
yeah. Is this Harley's pancake or what? Oh, it's mine. Okay. All
Did
right.
you did do you see, I don't know if are you on your computer, do you see in Comic Base, do you see number 3? I added it myself because I
Did
just got it from
you
my
add
comic
it
shop.
and then send it to them?
I didn't send it yet because I wanted to get
Yeah,
a picture of the cover.
I don't have a number three.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That's definitely the Lionforge thing too, because they just didn't solicit it.
Yeah, that's their fault.
I've never seen that before, that they it just wasn't
Did you ever
solicited.
get an answer on your Mr. Miracle or no?
They just said that they were shorted.
Well, I got you one, so you're okay.
Yeah, I know. Thank you very much. That was nice of you.
Yeah, I thought I had a clean sweep, but then I looked at 38 and it was miscut. Green Lanterns, I was like, Rob won't want this. The number's on the back of the cover.
Oh, is that how bad it was?
It was that bad, yeah.
Wow.
All right, well, let's kick this bad boy off. Welcome to Geek Brunch Retro, and this is, I'm gonna say it's 101, but it's a continuation of our previous shenanigans.
Number 100A.
Yeah. And
I
before we get
don't.
into our question, I thought we would talk about the book that we all read first.
Sure. Mike, somehow you managed to recover that. I haven't listened to your episode yet, where that you called like searching for Atari Force or whatever you called it. I'm like, oh my god, that is hilarious. But I haven't listened to it.
Hey,
yet.
Chris, guess where it was?
In the spare room.
Yeah. It was in the 8th short box I pulled out.
Oh, my lord.
Uninventoried. Wow.
So you do you not have these in any particular order at all? Like,
they're in.
How do you
sort
know where anything is?
I don't notice where anything is in the closet. It's uninventoried.
Oh wow! See, that would drive me insane.
So my date. Well, you don't have 70,000 comic books either.
No. But I have almost 30.
Well, it makes sense that I have 10,000 of them that are not archived.
Is it that many?
I don't know. It's several thousand.
My lord.
It might not be 10. It might be more like 6.
I would take a week off from work and just do that.
I wished I could.
That's crazy.
Well, Chris slept in that room. He knows that closet is full.
Mm. Yeah.
That's why he knew where to get. Like, that's why I knew he'd know the right answer.
Well,
I do think Chris, it was amusing that both Rob and I reacted to you saying that you didn't have it by immediately saying that you just didn't know where it was.
Exactly. Like, there's no way he doesn't have it. He must own it.
No, in all fairness, it's not in my database, so
that's true.
According to me, I don't own it.
But I knew you had to have it.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a full run.
I want a collection to come out. I wish that they would have been able to do that when Dynamite started doing Atari stuff.
Yeah.
These but so many good. Of the characters are probably, I mean, the characters are original characters, so I'm sure they're all owned by DC.
These are healthier alternative pancakes, and they're pretty good.
Yeah, that's why it's kind of a tricky situation, and why you're not really going to see original characters created for licensed properties.
Dynamite said they were going to do this, and they did it with the other Atari books. They collected the Sword Quest, and it also had the Centipede, and it came out like the Atari booklets. You know, they used to be small comics with the Atari cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep saying they're going to do a collected Atari Force, but I think there's something funky with, was it Jerry Conway and Garcia Lopez or something that might have some kind of like rights issue, or there's something going on where they probably can't publish it. I think they would have.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It's kind of like the same with Marvel and Micronauts. You know, they had that license and then they created a bunch of original characters in addition to the actual Micronauts. And
but it's weird so because they specialize though. Like Dynamite is really good about what they could get away with and what they can't. Because there's like strange laws like public domain, like the Golden Age likenesses of like the Freedom Fighters or any of the quality characters, you could reprint and it's public domain, but yet DC owns the newer characters, so it's weird.
Right.
And the same thing with Tarzan, they get away with it because they say Lord of the Jungle on their title, but they don't put Tarzan in the title. But inside the comic book, they call him
Tarzan.
So there's a lot of weird stuff with public domain that you have to have lawyers that say what you can and you can't do. And Dynamite's really good about it. They almost stole the Valiant characters away from Valiant around the same time just because they were on the border, the cusp of what was legal and what wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
So Dynamite's pretty fascinating as a company because they do that. I mean, you might think it's awful, but
they do a good job with a lot of those older characters.
Yeah, and some of them they do have to license, like $6 Million Man, and
any of that type of stuff. But like the old pulp superheroes that are, like you said, public domain. Those are can be interesting comics. Yeah. I've enjoyed quite a bit of them.
And I think they pay for like Red Sonja, you know, mm-hmm. and they pay for Shadow because you'll see the thing on the, you know, in DC's, is that what they call them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The little blurb at the bottom of the page. At least it used to be. Now it's harder to find.
Yeah. I feel bad for Dark Horse because now they lost Conan. Lost Star Wars a while back. Now they've lost Conan.
They have potential to lose 20th Century Fox stuff, too.
Oh, if God, I didn't think about that. Like
Predator.
Like Predator and Aliens?
Aliens.
Oh, man.
I don't know where Terminator's at, but they could. I think they already lost Terminator. I think somebody else published a Terminator book.
Yikes. That's not good for them. I mean, yeah. It seems like they don't have a lot going on.
Yeah, since you're, though, like a monitor of, like, missing comic books, you should let me know. I need to get this Astonisher, so.
Oh, it's so frustrating. Because I saw number 4, and I'm looking, and I'm like, I don't remember this title being up to number 4. So I thought this was brand new. So I'm looking, and I look to see, and I got number 1 and 2. I'm like, well, where's number 3?
It sucks.
And then I searched DCBS, and I didn't order it. But then I actually pulled the physical previews copies the other day. I'm like, it's not solicited anywhere.
It sucks, though, because I'm a completist on that universe because it's a shared universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, oh, well.
All right. You want to start covering this this shared book today?
Yeah. And I wanted to cover this, and I thought I had it, but you're right. My first answer was, I ain't going to find this shit. And then I got out of work, like, really late, and I'm like, I'm going to look for it. And then my hopes of finding it were very slim to none, because I went through 8 already.
Yeah.
And I was like, God dang, I have to bag and board all these, too. I'm like, holy crap. But I moved to the other side of the closet, and it was in the first... I said, what is this? I saw this bag that had several comics in it, and it was in one bag like DCBS would put them in, like one big bag for like, I don't know, you know, 12 or 13 comics. And I pulled it out and I said, oh, this looks familiar, because there's no way in hell I would buy a Rock and Roll Led Zeppelin comic. There's just no way. And I said, what the hell is this? I mean, I like Led Zeppelin, but I never bought any of those Rock and Roll comics ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I didn't. I never sought them out. I knew they existed. I never, and it's a good thing I didn't, because I looked through it and it was awful. It's like borderline comic book. It's like if they did one panel per page. It's really amateurish. But I saw that and I said, "Oh, this looks promising," because I didn't like open it. But I must have opened it because I read number 1 like a long time ago, because you know how I keep track of what I read? I knew I read Atari Force number 1, and then I saw them all there, and I was like, oh yeah.
Well, I was originally going to pick number 1, but I looked it up and you guys covered it at some point. I think it was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's why I read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's,
yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, I think Chris... I don't know if I covered it with him. Chris, you covered it, right?
I thought you did, but I don't remember back that far. Maybe I did. If I did, I don't remember much, because I reread number 1 before reading number 2.
Me too.
Okay, so like
It didn't feel familiar.
I probably picked it, and that's why I read it. One of us picked it, because there's sometimes that Chris will pick a book, and then mm-hmm. it sounds interesting to me when he describes it, and I go look and see if I have it. And if I have it, I'll read it after, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
I'll read it after he talks about it, but I don't remember. I gotta start recording my stuff a little bit better, just a little bit better description, just like coherent thoughts.
Well, Mike, this is what we're going to do. When me and Stacy move to New Mexico... We're going to take a nice vacation. We're going to go up to see you, and you can put me to work, and I'll just start organizing all of your stuff and getting everything into your comic base.
I would love that. Because I trust you. You're a brother, and I know you're going to be careful with my books.
Oh, I'll be very careful. It'll be a pleasure looking
well,
at
them. Well, it'll be like, I think you would take better care of my books than I would. So I'd be like, yeah, Bob's perfect for this. Go to work.
Yeah.
And I'd pay you, and then I could go to work and then come back and
be perfect.
Have 20 long boxes done.
Exactly. Chris, I told Mike last week or a couple weeks ago. I'm like, I talked to my wife. I want to move to New Mexico. I'm sick of 6 months of freezing cold weather. And it was when it, you know, just recently where we literally couldn't even get into like the 20s and it would just snow a little bit every day. I'm like, I can't stand this anymore. I can't stand this.
No,
I'm like, let me check.
Say Colorado.
Well, no, I don't want to. New Mexico. Because,
actually,
yeah, you guys get weather there.
We've been way warmer than you guys.
Oh, I know.
We haven't even had a snow yet, Barb, have we? I mean, we've had a dusting. We've had there was a snowstorm that we had in Boulder, but Colorado Springs didn't get it. So, like, we were supposed to spend the night last weekend in Boulder, and we decided to come home early because the snow got really bad. But we as soon as we crossed a certain threshold, there was nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you hit Colorado Springs, like just north of Colorado Springs, you're okay.
Well, I love the Southwest in general.
Yeah.
And, you know, I looked, and then I was asking you too, but I'm like, I'm seeing that they don't have much of a risk of a lot of natural disasters. You know how like our area, we get blizzards. That's it. There's nothing else you have to worry about if you live in this area. So I'm looking. I'm like, yeah, they don't really have any natural disasters in that area either.
No, there's a lot of retirement. I mean, it's a place of retirement. A lot of people go there to retire.
I like it.
As many as Arizona or Florida, but.
Well, I like Arizona too. Yeah, I like exact. I am never not Florida. Florida's too humid and hurricanes and tropical storms and all that. But I like Arizona too. But then I'm the other thing in this type of political climate. I'm like, well, Arizona's a red state, but New Mexico is a blue state.
Yeah.
So I think I want to move to New Mexico.
Before you make a decision, though, I you should take a trip down there.
Oh, we definitely will come
and spend a
vacation.
Spend a significant amount of time.
Yeah, no, we would definitely come
for
a vacation.
For me, it would be it's a state of choice, but I mean, there's only a couple of states I'd probably go to. Stay in Colorado, go to New Mexico, go to Arizona. I mean, those are the only places I'd probably look.
Yeah. No, I mean, and this isn't anything that is even, like, on our radar anytime soon.
Yeah.
It would be a dream. It would be a dream to actually be able to move out that way. But, like, Stacy wouldn't want to move without her mom and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, we're talking years away.
Well, you'd have to look at, there's a lot of dirt there, so it's not as colorful. I mean, there's areas of green.
Yeah.
But it's a lot. I mean, you will get like dust storms.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of tumbleweeds and all that stuff blowing across, but you're not going to get they'll close down the whole city if it snows, so you won't even have to go to work.
I know. And then I could go out and do whatever I want because I know how to drive in the snow.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a dusting in New Mexico. If you get a dusting.
Yeah,
and one car slides, they'll close the whole.
That's it.
That's shut down everybody.
But they also, I'm assuming, don't have the capability to really clear off any of that snow that's falling on the street either, right?
Maybe enough for like the main interstate, but not enough for any of the side roads or anything. It's not like New York or Colorado.
Yeah,
you know, they have trucks everywhere.
Exactly. I mean, that's a big difference that people have to keep in mind, too, when they say, oh, you're closing over like an inch and a half of snow or whatever. Well, they don't. A lot of times they can't take it off the street and then it's just not safe. And it turns to ice in a lot of especially on the East Coast, like, you know, down south where it's more humid, too. It turns to ice right away. And then you're sliding all over the place. Whereas at least in our area, as soon as it snows, you got plows out like immediately. So unless it's like coming down like crazy where it can't keep up, it's pretty safe to drive.
Yeah. All right, but, well, let's jump into some Atari Force.
All right, so we're talking about Atari Force number 2. I read number 1 last night before I read number 2 today, too, just to kind of get into this because I hadn't read it. I mean, I seriously haven't read any of this until since it first came out. But so number 2 is still actually, there's no official team yet of these main characters. They're all kind of still doing their own thing. And you've got this woman named Dart, who you actually find out later in this issue, her parents were part of the original Atari Force, which actually, just as a quick aside, as I reread number 1 last night, in the back in the letters column, they discussed how this is like an offshoot of those mini comics that you were talking about, Mike.
Yeah.
That came out in 5 different Atari video games. And it actually listed, you know, each one in 1 through 5, which cartridges they came with. And Martin Champion was the leader of that group. And then I think he had like four other humans.
That's Tempest's father.
Yeah. So it was interesting because it basically this is set like 20 years after the events that you would read in those mini comics. So he had married Martin Champion had married another Atari Force member, and they had a son, and that's Chris Champion, who's Tempest, in this one. And then you find out in this issue number 2 that Dart is also the daughter of a couple of the characters in the mini comics too, although they don't appear, and she just almost mentions it as an aside.
Those two are my favorites so far. Blackjack
me
and
too.
Dart. They're the most interesting.
I like Packrat, but you don't see much with him yet.
Yeah, is it a him or a her?
Well, you know what? I thought I honestly don't know. I almost said her because I'm not quite sure. Chris, do you know?
Mm-mm.
No, I don't remember.
The facial structure looks like a
looks
woman.
Female. Yeah, it does.
And the body looks like there could be hips and stuff going on, but it's hard to tell. Golly.
Yeah.
Hips going on.
It's Pat from Saturday Night Live. You get that reference.
Yeah.
That's right. But so this is what's going on to start out with is you've got Dart and her boyfriend, Blackjack. Previously, they were fighting for like the government on this planet, but they were kind of double crossed, and this general ended up dying the issue before. So in this one, now they're fighting for the rebels, and against all odds, they end up winning the battle. And you see that there's this, and I'm not even sure what this guy's name is yet, but there's this like overlord that's kind of behind the scenes that for some reason wants Dart and was trying to get a hold of her in the first issue, and the general failed that. So he now sends this creature called the War Beast to try to get Dart dead or alive. It also shows Tempest, Chris Champion, with his girlfriend on New Earth. It shows this telepath, this green alien called Morphia, I think her name is. And she starts talking to Martin, who is Chris Champion's dad, as we discussed. And it just keeps, it gives like little vignettes from location to location, character to character, kind of still getting you introduced to a lot of these characters. None of them have really encountered each other at this point. They're all doing their own thing. You've got Packrat that's on a Starliner. I just looked it up. It says it is a he, I guess. He's stowed away on a Starliner, and he's just like hanging out. And they've shown each issue how he kind of runs away from whatever is chasing him, but then if he gets cornered, he like just like becomes crazy and attacks whatever is attacking him like crazy and beats them whenever he gets cornered. There is a big character from the planet Egg whose name is becomes Babe, and he's been captured to be sold as a slave. He's on this I guess like kind of like a I don't even know what kind of ship you'd call it, but
that,
kind
that
of like
was really a weird scene. I want to talk about that a little bit because
yeah, go ahead.
You have one guy on the ship that's like, I'm going to kill this child because I don't want him to go into slavery.
Yeah.
It's so weird. He was going to open the airlock
and just let him die.
Kill the baby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's better. I mean, either. Jeez.
Yeah. And then the captain catches him, and maybe because the captain's really, really drunk at the time, but he seems to buy the fact that the first guy says that, oh, he forgot that there was any cargo at all, and kind of lets him go over it. But yeah, I mean, and this type of creature is interesting because it had said in the issue before that they're only mobile when they're children, when they're young, and then on their own planet, they keep growing and growing and growing until they reach adulthood, and then they kind of like curl up and become actual mountains on the landscape of their own planet, and they can no longer move.
Didn't we learn that in episode one when they got Babe?
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember that. I remember mm-hmm. there were like huge formations.
Yeah. Yeah, huge formations in the background that are shaped like them, just like all... Like
and
huddled.
Wasn't Babe one that like I don't understand why we do this like, or was it his parents?
No, it must have been.
I can't remember what it was, but it's
yeah.
Like,
I
don't want to conform to this way of living. Like you grow up, you become this rock. I don't remember what it was, but I remember this vaguely now.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, it's interesting, and like I said, I haven't read any of these other issues in so long. I can't even remember where this ends up going with that. But yeah. So I mean, they end up just taking him by putting candy on the ground right up into the to the actual ship, and then when he comes in, they close the ship up, and then they take off. So, like I said, all these characters are in totally different spots. They go back to Dart and Blackjack, and they're celebrating their victory against the government forces. And Dart has a special ability where she doesn't seem like she can control when it happens, but every once in a while she has a brief glimpse into the possible future, like maybe like 2 or 3 seconds ahead of time. And so she sees this war beast come and start mowing people down. So she tells everyone to hit the ground, and she actually tackles Blackjack just as Warbeast starts shooting. And they actually, as tough as this Warbeast was made out to be, they take care of him pretty quickly. After some initial fighting and shooting at Warbeast, and the lasers just pretty much bouncing off of his skin, she jumps up on his back and grabs this, I guess she's got this little pellet or what have you, and she throws it into his mouth, and it's obvious it's some sort of explosive. So she does that, and at the same time, just after that, Blackjack kind of like hits him in the gut, so like he swallows it, and sure enough, it blows up, and he blows up from the inside out. So that was, I thought it was going to be a little bit more of a fight, but they took care of him pretty efficiently. And that's actually the end of the issue, because Blackjack says, this seems like they were after you specifically. Like, but why is that? And she's like, I don't know. And then it shows that this guy that's kind of behind the scenes, this main villain that we don't know much about yet, kind of in the shadows. And so, foreshadows that there's going to be more with this particular character.
Just as an FYI, this is coming out. Like, I already have it ordered.
which one?
Atari Force. We were just talking about it. It's already been
the mini comics, or
I have the yeah the mini comic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You
that's
know,
been
I
that's been solicited, but the other one hasn't.
Like, now that you say that, I think I remember that. I thought about getting it, but then I decided not to. But and after reading these, I kind of wish that I had. But
yeah,
I suppose I can still pick it up at some point.
It's going to be like a prequel to this.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, and I didn't remember anything about those.
Well,
so at the time,
March,
like, nah.
If you wanted it, you could get it on Amazon.
Yeah, that's what I'll probably end up doing. But this was, I mean, this was fun to read. I read number one and two. It lasted 20 issues plus a special when they came out. And I actually own all of them. I bought them all at the time that they were released back in 84 and 85.
You bought them, but you didn't read them?
No, I've read them all, but I haven't read them since they originally came out. So I haven't read them in over 20 years.
You don't remember anything.
I remember the characters, and that was it. I remember nothing of the story.
You stuck the... That's pretty cool. You have the whole series and you bought it.
Yeah, it was fun. I remember enjoying it.
You must have liked it.
Yeah, I did. And especially back then, I mean, you're talking I was like 12, 13 years old, so I didn't have a ton of extra money to spend. So the fact that I stuck with that the whole time, I must have been enjoying it pretty well. And I didn't say, but you kind of indicated before, it's written by Jerry Conway and the artist is Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, which just beautiful art.
Oh, he's amazing. This is some of his best work, I think.
Yeah, I loved it. You know, I've been reading a lot of Jerry Conway. I was reading that. I read some, I've been reading the 75th celebration of Aquaman. So he's got some stories in there like that Justice League annual where they changed up. Line up. Seems like everything I've been picking up all of a sudden is Jerry Conway. Oh, I was reading some Legion and it was Jerry Conway too.
I loved Justice League Detroit, and that gets a lot of shit, but it was interesting, I tell you. There's some
good
stuff there.
I tweeted that yesterday. That I mean, it's one of the first comic books. I can remember literally just where I was sitting there reading it because it was as like a kid that was. It blew me away. I'm like, oh my god. Like the Justice League, he disbanded the Justice League. It was like the first like huge shift like that.
Yeah.
I think reading as a kid, especially something that didn't just last like an issue and then was reset.
And then you had new characters. You're like, we have Stitch, yeah. We have Vixen, we have Vibe, we have Gypsy. I mean,
exactly.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
And they were all newbies, and they're Aquaman and Martian Manhunter were supposed to train him.
Yeah. Oh, it was
but,
fun.
A couple of things that I want to talk about on this issue.
Yeah.
And I want you guys to refresh my memory on number one, but man, they made Tempest look like a little crybaby. I mean, they explained why he is. Like, he's got a father that rejects him and a mother that's dead, and he kind of like, well, he has the ability to, which is very interesting in a DC perspective, to cross multiverse. I mean,
yeah.
So he has the power to, like, move across areas, and he'll, like, just vanish at times. But he shows up, like, in this Garden of Eden, and it has, like, this scene of, like, Adam and Eve kind of thing. It's weird. Where she's, like, in this garden, and there's, like, this deadly scorpion. And he phases in and kills the scorpion. And then she's got a father and says, you know, we don't want any of your kind here kind of thing. Get out of here. And she's kind of siding with her father at the time.
Yeah, I was surprised about that because I think the issue before didn't indicate anything like that.
Yeah. And then the other part I found interesting was, like, at the opening scene, there's this huge battle scene. And it looks like they're going to lose. And Dart just sends out her boyfriend, Blackjack, like, he's going to be the sacrificial lamb. He's like, I'm going to sacrifice herself, and I'm just going to go out there guns a-blazing and die for you. And he does that, but he doesn't die, but he does do that. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was interesting, because it seemed like first she was going to go out there, but, you know, she asked him about his crossbow or whatever, and it doesn't fire fast enough for him to provide cover for her.
Yeah.
So it ended up that he had to go out there and she had to try to provide cover, but she figured that he was going to die. Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed that he didn't die.
You were? You don't like him, huh?
I think he's kind of lame compared to Dart. She deserves better. Somebody without a mustache.
Wow.
Dart seems really cool. But Blackjack seems kind of lame.
So we know how he feels about mustaches.
Yeah, Blackjack.
He's read the Fecal Matter article about what get caught in beards and...
I mean, I don't dislike them in general, but it makes him seem like he's this kind of like old dude hanging around with this young chick, kind of. I don't know. I think mustaches make guys look old.
What about women?
It makes them look
like in a circus.
I don't know. I'm not gonna finish that sentence. But
that's what you got to say about that.
Dart's really cool.
Yeah,
I think she just seemed.
Oh my goodness.
It's okay, Mabel. Blackjack is just in the comic book.
She likes Blackjack. That's what she's.
No,
saying.
She doesn't like mustaches.
No.
She barks at men with mustaches. It's true.
Really?
Yeah. So that's why I think Blackjack would make my dog wouldn't like Joe Blackjack, so yeah. He's gotta go.
That's it.
But no, I think Dart's cool. She deserves better.
Dart is cool.
You're only two issues in. You can't judge it. He was willing to sacrifice for her. He was willing to give up his life for her. That's gotta be worth something.
Yeah, but he botched it. He survived.
I know.
He didn't sacrifice anything.
So he did it wrong.
What's the problem?
What was that? Did you step on the dog?
Oh my goodness!
Sound like you stepped on her.
Some bastards in her neighborhood that she didn't give permission to.
I bet you the person had a mustache.
Jeepers! What's the problem, lady?
There's some mustaches crossing the street.
Some bastard with a mustache in her neighborhood.
She's like, look, Daddy, there's mustaches!
But, I don't know if Christopher, if he seemed... I don't think he seemed that whiny in the first issue.
He just seemed... I don't even know what the word is. Maybe not whiny, but definitely, you know, I mean, he has his issues. I think I remember him just complaining about, you know, about his dad.
Yeah.
But I think that was pretty much it in the first issue.
You know what? Dart and Blackjack kind of remind me of Donna Troy and Terry Long.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it.
Donna Troy and Terry. Oh, because he's got the curly orange beard. Because
he's just kind of this older dude that seems too lame to be with Donna Troy.
You know, men live. They don't live as long, so the age
right. So they gotta get us. They gotta get
they
started.
Gotta heads up if you wanna live together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that work the opposite way, then? They should date somebody that's older than them?
You know what? Please don't use logic with us.
Oh, you're right. You're right. you just reversed the logic. but then they can move on to somebody else, see? They could say, I got the rich older man, and now I could be with the younger man that's promising career.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, if you talk to a lot of women, they could say, well, you know, the mental age is the same between, you know, a woman who's in her 20s and a guy who's in his 40s.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. But Chris, what did you think of the issue? Have you read this whole series before?
I haven't read it. No, I picked up the whole run really cheap a couple years ago, and I liked the issue. I liked the first issue too. I liked both of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't hurt that the Garcia Lopez art is really great. Yeah. But I mean, the character designs are kind of weird. Besides, I mean, the Dart is definitely a winner across the board. Like, her look is really great. She's definitely the standout character, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
The other characters are interesting. I wouldn't say that their design is super charismatic, necessarily. But as far as this particular issue, I did have the same expectations that you did, Rob, because the cover features Dart versus War Beast.
Mm-hmm.
So it was surprising how quickly that was over. I didn't particularly care that
it
was short.
It didn't bother me. It was just surprising.
But it was contrary to expectations created by the cover.
Yeah. I like that, though. It was like a good tank scene. Do you remember that time we were in the tank and we threw the grenade inside the hat? And that's what they do to War Beast. His mouth is open, they throw the grenade in, and they blow him up from the inside.
Yeah, well, I think that it shows how well the two of them are working together as a team. That, you know, they kind of reference this stuff and are able to dispatch some of these opponents that seem like they're going to pose a lot of problems.
So I take it you quickly. Don't like Blackjack's design, then. It was a bad choice to throw in the mustache. If you would have shaved, he'd have been okay.
People with mustaches are going to stop listening to the show now. I don't have a problem with mustaches. I think it makes him... Yeah, in this case, I think it makes him look older than maybe he's supposed to be.
You know, when you're in a battle, you don't have time to shave.
Then how come he only has a mustache, not a beard?
Because that was laser grafted. That was... He had laser surgery on the bottom.
Did that when they put the tube through his eye or whatever the hell's going on there?
It was the radiation they lit his face up with when they fixed his
eye. Aye, aye.
Yeah.
Throwback.
Right.
He's definitely not as cool looking as... I think I just have a crush on Dart and I'm jealous. Maybe that's what it all comes down to.
Well, who can blame you?
And Donna Troy.
Yep.
Speaking of Donna Troy, I bought some toys lately, and I it's not Donna Troy, but it is Wonder Girl. But it's the other one, Casey Sandsmark.
Mm. Uh-huh. What did you buy?
Well, you're gonna think this is weird, but I like the Wonder Woman figure because it's the Dark Knight Returns Wonder Woman. You know how she looked in the DK3. They released a figure of that Wonder Woman. And so I said, oh, I'm just going to get this Wonder Woman, and I'm a Wonder Woman fanatic. Like, if there's any toys that I collect, it's Wonder Woman. So I was I'm going to get this Wonder Woman and just stick it there. And then I looked on the back of it, and it had a Build-A-Figure of Dr. Psycho. And I'm like a huge Dr. Psycho fan. Like, I think Dr. Psycho is one of the best Wonder Woman villains ever. So I bought the Build-A-Figure, and it was only you had to buy two figures to build Dr. Psycho, so I bought one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm going to build a Dr. Psycho later.
Very nice.
I'll be one of the only people that has a Dr. Psycho action figure.
You'll have to post it on Twitter.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for that. I'm that guy. I like him a lot. They played with him, I think, in the Rucka run and also in the Perez run quite a bit.
Yeah.
But he goes all the way back to the Golden Age.
You know what I just bought? I went to my LCS this weekend. He's got some older, like, even older than Silver Age, but he's got some older comic books that are... They're in pretty bad condition, but he's got them for $3 for $7. And I got a Daredevil comic from 1950.
Oh, you know,
the half red, half blue guy.
Yeah, talking about public domain characters. He's
yeah, It turned out, I looked it up, as the last issue that he even appeared in Daredevil Comics. It lasted a lot longer, but he was no longer even in his own comic book. So that was the last one, just a short story with him in the back. But it was cool. I mean, it's pretty beat up, but I haven't read it yet.
For something that's old, it's kind of worth to have something.
Yeah, and then there was a GI Combat that I got, too. It was only issue number 35, which at that point it was published by Quality, not DC.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I'm looking forward to reading those. Anytime I can find one that's from the 50s, and it's a price like that, I'll just buy it just to... Because I have so few comic books that are older than the 60s that I just like reading them, and even like looking at the ads and stuff like that as I page through it. It's just very interesting to me. So I'm looking forward to reading those too.
Yeah.
And I couldn't beat the price, you know?
Yeah. I probably would have gotten them too.
Yeah.
So here's our top five for this week. We got top five all-time teams, superhero teams, or there could be villain teams. You could put any teams together. It could be G.I. Joe too. It doesn't have to be superhero related.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and kick this off, and I'm starting from the bottom and working my way to the top. And most of my favorite teams, I'll tell you right now, they're not, with the exception of one, they're not probably on any of your guys' lists.
Oh.
But my number five is one of the first series that I ever completed in back issues, and I tend to like go for characters that are not mainstream. I don't know why it is, but I've always been that way. So my number five team consisted of Hercules, Ghost Rider, Black Angel, and Iceman, with, you know, two X-Men. They're an oddball team, but I've always had a thing for Hercules. I don't know why. Ever since he appeared in like the Thor comics, and you'd always have the Thor versus Hercules battles, I've always loved Hercules. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Champions. It's one of the first teams that I ever read from beginning to end, and I still love them, even though people that read it and compare it to other comics, it's not going to seem that way, but it's more of a nostalgia thing that makes me love them so much.
I totally get it.
They've recently shown up sort of in the wake of Black Widow's death in Iceman, written by Cena Grace. Not my favorite. When they came together in her wake, it was all right, but the fact that they turned it into, like, how can we support Iceman getting a date kind of thing, kind of like, just rubbed me the wrong way. Because, you know, they turned Iceman gay, so the team was working to try to get him a date, which I just thought was really weird.
Mm.
But that's my number five team, is the Champions. I was... whoever wants to go next can go next.
Chris, you can go.
Well, I was kind of confused. What exactly is the top five? Is it just our favorite teams of all time right now, or our favorite? What were our favorite teams when we were growing up?
It's your favorite teams. Just in general, like if you were to say what's your favorite, it doesn't have to be growing up. It could be what's your favorite team right now. I mean, they probably have a retro angle anyway. Most teams have been around for a long time, unless you pick like something like the New Champions or something.
I feel like we did this.
Yeah, we didn't do it with Rob for sure. I know that.
No, I know. Yeah. All right, you go next, Rob.
All right. I don't have mine ordered in any particular order. So
Yeah.
But so the one that I'm going to talk about, you kind of reminded me, Mike, not that because they're the same, but because they're from the same era of publishing. And that one of my favorite teams, especially growing up, was the Invaders. I kind of experienced or was introduced to the Invaders around the same time as I saw Champions, and both of the books were no longer being published, but as I would go to the comic shop, I would see old beat up issues that they were selling like five for a dollar and stuff like that. And the Invaders really caught my attention. I've always seemed to have been a big Captain America fan, and I've also always been like a kind of like a World War II era. I've always had interest in the superheroes in the World War II era, I guess is what I should say. So having Captain America and Submariner and Human Torch plus sidekicks, it was very interesting to me. And I've always loved the Invaders, particularly that first series that was out in what I guess the mid to late 70s. So that's my pick.
Yeah, Roy Thomas. Any particular Invaders that like characters that you really liked, or is it just mostly Cap? Or did anyone stand out to you?
You know, to start out with, it was Cap. As I started to read them, you know, I liked the whole idea of the team in general, but my first experience with Union Jack was with Invaders, so that was something that I'd never seen before, and I just thought he was super cool looking. So I would say, although you know he's certainly not one of my favorite characters nowadays, he just at the time it was really cool to see a character I've never seen before that was kind of like the British version of Captain America. So he's probably one of mine.
Yeah, it's one that you usually think of.
Mm-hmm.
The female is Spitfire usually, right? I mean,
right. Yeah.
At least that's the one I think of.
There were others, I'd like to get a complete run of this at some point. I mean, they're not overly expensive, and I have quite a few of the issues, but I probably have a little less than half.
One that I liked later on was the Blazing Skull. Like I don't know if he was part of the original Invaders or if he just came later, but I liked the way they wrote that guy.
I don't remember.
Really cool. He was like a Ghost Rider sort of character, but not.
Yeah, I
Oh, you had the Vision.
I don't
in there
remember
too.
Him. Oh, that's right.
The Golden Age.
The first Vision. Yeah, that's cool. It was. I mean, back when I was younger and going. I mean, there was a lot of these issues just, you know, sitting out and like, you know, in like what you would consider probably between less than fine to like, you know, good condition, just that, you know, they would give away for, I mean, back then it was, you know, anywhere between five or three comics for a dollar. And, cause at that point, you know, these comics were like 6 or 7 years old, not that old. And I'd buy a bunch of them, and that's where I have most of them, but I'd like to go back and get the rest of the run at
and
some
the
point.
The big three are the Torch and Namor and Cap, which are all Golden Age characters.
Yeah. And of course, at the time, I had no idea that Human Torch was not the Fantastic Four Human Torch until I picked it up and started reading it.
Yeah. That's another thing I found in that closet that was interesting was the Human Torch had a series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, do you have one now?
Yeah, I'd like to say mine are more unique or exciting or whatever, but if I just do in my top five of all time, I think, let me think, I wanted to try to do them in order, but I don't know if I'll be able to either. But we'll see how it works out. With my number five, I'll go with Legion of Superheroes. All my DC ones, so I have DC and Marvel on my list, and all my DC ones are going to be teams that I became a fan of as an adult, because I wasn't into DC as a kid. So with the Legion, I think they're my number five because, and not higher than that, because it's the one that I probably have the biggest gaps where there's parts of Legion history that I haven't read. But I get really intrigued by some of the same things that people find to be a turnoff. The number of different characters, the different eras and reboots, that the depth of that history kind of intrigues me and is something that catches my interest. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of it being in the future and it kind of being a space comic that still manages to feel like a superhero comic, like
and a soap opera at the same time.
It kind of draws me in a way, like you can have like other planets and stuff like that, that where sometimes, like when DC and Marvel go into outer space, not that it's a bad thing, but it ends up feeling a little more science fiction than superhero. And I kind of like how the Legion, even to, and I think that this is why it's been hard for them to find success with it in more recent years, is that it's kind of has that retro future feel. You know what I'm talking about?
Rogers or Flash Gordon serial feel, sort of, at least I think so.
Yeah, like where it's a past idea of what the future would be like.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
That's an interesting thought. I've never heard anybody say that.
Well, I just want to just add, so we're not talking about it later, but Legion is on my list as well. Cool. I've always been a big fan of Legion of Superheroes. And I started following them just as they were wrapping up, just before it became Tales of the Legion Superheroes, and they relaunched in that the direct edition. Everything that you said, I mean, basically, you know, the huge number of characters, it seemed like initially, like I'm constantly like learning about new characters. That was super interesting to me, and you know, I definitely agree with a lot of what you said. I think I went furthest into the Legion after, what was it? I guess it was Zero Hour, when they had the Zero issues and they kind of like rebooted the Legion.
They tried to clean it up.
Yeah. They actually
made it more messy.
They renamed some of the, like Phantom Girl, I think, was Apparition, and yeah, I can't remember some of the other ones.
You're talking about the Legionnaires era, like
yes, when it was it had two
they
books.
Had two
they
books,
had the Legion
Legionnaires
of,
and Legion of Superheroes.
That was when I really got
stuff.
It.
A lot of it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it started out with I think Tom Payer or something.
Yeah.
And then Abnett and Lanning came in, and that's when I first started noticing, you know, their names. But yeah, that was they're definitely right up there in my top five.
Chris Sprouse on art on some of that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He kind of had like a Maguire like facial thing, like draw their facial expressions, not as distinctive as Maguire or Hughes, but he'd still have it, that style.
And this is I've said this before. I think I might have. I don't know if I told you, Mike, but I know I told Chris before that we that the artist, whoever was drawing it at the time, and I wish I could remember, I'll have to go back and check, they actually came into when my wife was working at the Warner Brothers studio store, because they were Canadian, so they would come down from Toronto to the store here in Buffalo, and they would go to like the gallery part of the store where they had like the cells and stuff like that. And because Stacy and her coworker kept helping them so often, they actually wrote them both into an issue. It's issue number 67 of that particular run, and just they gave her the actual, because it's on a couple pages, so they gave one page to her coworker and gave one page to her. So I actually have that page.
That's pretty cool.
Which is super cool. And like, I'm like, yeah, sure, you're the one that's, you know, in this, and you don't even care about the Legion of Superheroes. I love the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, I've not been drawn into a comic book. What the hell?
No, I had never been drawn into a comic book. But my wife has. Yeah. She doesn't care about
it. I'm going to put you guys on the spot real quick. I think we have time for it, but favorite male and female Legionnaire?
I can tell you my favorite female right away off to think about the male. Female is Phantom Girl. I just have always loved her.
My favorite female is Night Girl.
Night Girl!
Yeah, I got a thing for her. I don't know why.
I got the same thing for Phantom Girl. I'm telling you, the fact that she's going to be in this Terrifics, I don't know how that's going to play out or why she's in it,
yeah,
but I'm super excited about that.
That seems to me to be like the only one of those books that seems interesting. I mean, I'm not reading current comics right now, but looking at solicits for those books that are coming out of that like Dark Universe or whatever they are.
Yeah.
That's the only one that looks, that's the only one that looks remotely interesting. The other ones all look like 90s Image Rejects or something.
I am totally I'm at this point, I'm a sucker for everything DC. So
I mean,
I'm excited about all of them.
That is an extremely superficial impression. Like,
no, I get it, but it's still an impression based on just what you're seeing, which is valid. It's just that, like, I don't even, like, for me, I don't even care what they're, it's like, I just want everything that they're publishing right now.
It has the most promising lineup for sure.
Well, the team looks amazing, doesn't it?
The fact that they're doing it like the Fantastic Four of the DC Universe is also very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Jeff Lemire, so.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Should be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to be clear because I don't want people to think that I'm like, you know, really shitting on them or anything. That's just an extremely superficial. I mean, they could end up being really good, and I do think it's cool that DC is actually taking a risk to like put some like newer stuff out there that's not totally like based on existing properties that
like
are already proven
all over again.
Sellers and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm skeptical of their success, but I would love to be wrong. I'd love to see them be successful. So I'm not like shitting on them or anything. I'm just saying like, I'll be interested to see how they do.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the one thing that I've got to say is that I've been loving the chances that they've been taking with a lot of their stuff. So far as they don't even. I mean, some of these books, it's like I personally have been really enjoying, like New Superman, the Superman of China and stuff like that. I mean, these books have been almost out for 2 years now and they're still publishing them. I would have never thought that like some of these titles would still be published after almost 2 years. I thought for sure that they'd be canceled. And yeah, they're canceling some, but you know, they're giving everything a chance to actually tell a story, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Night Girl, I read the Cosmic Boy miniseries last year. Mm-hmm. She's in that a lot. That's a good series for her.
Yeah, the 4-issue one.
Yeah, for Legends. Mm-hmm. I like Phantom Girl a lot too, but so I don't have to fight Rob. I'll go with Shadow.
You don't
Lass.
Have to fight me. That's okay.
All right.
Favorite. I like Shadow Lass a lot too, though. So,
the favorite male character.
She's one of the best drawn characters, I think. Or like, it looks really cool. Like I like her costume the best.
Who, Shadow Lass?
No, yeah, Shadow Lass.
Uh huh.
And
I'm
male.
Also a sucker for triplicate girl, but or duplicate, depending on when you read it. But
dual damsel.
Yeah, dual damsel. All right, so males.
I'm probably
the males are tougher because I have a couple favorites, but I'm just gonna pick one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Ultra Boy. I love the concept, and I love reading him.
Mm-hmm.
Because the concepts to me is amazing. It's like a hardcore in Valiant. Like I can only turn on one power at a time, and you have to switch it at the right time, where you're vulnerable.
Yeah. I'll go with Brainiac 5. Sorry. Oh, nice.
So I don't have to fight you because I like Ultra Boy as well. I'll go with Chameleon. I always liked Chameleon. I think it's cool how he can shapeshift into all those different creatures.
I like Wildfire a lot too. I like the fact that he's like this energy source and his costume is just holding him in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always really pissed off too.
Yeah. He's like also, and I like his girlfriend, the Dawnstar. I like her a lot.
Yeah.
She's the.
So, I was just looking, and it's issue. I'm sorry, it's issue 106 that my wife and her coworker are in the Legion of Superheroes, the 1989 to 2000 run. Like I said, they have a. They each have a page from that, and the artist was Jason Armstrong, who I'm not even familiar with, but he is Canadian, and he came down. He would come down to Buffalo all the time to the mall to pick stuff up.
Which one was it? 2006?
No, the 1989 to 2000 one. The fourth series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was
issue 106.
Keith Giffen starting that one. Which issue?
It's issue 106.
Okay, I have a full run of that, so.
I have most of one. I'm missing a couple annuals and a couple regular issues. Two regular issues.
Were they science police officers or what?
Yes. Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. Yep. There were the science. There were actually not. I don't think there were science police. I think there were scientists, and
It's
right near the beginning of the issue. They're both of them. It's Bob and Stacy. They just spell them a little different. It's like B-O-H-B and like S-T-A-S-I, I think.
Make it science fiction-y by spelling them differently.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
It's also a fad for just naming kids these days. Like just spelling a name.
Oh, differently. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So my next one. Because you already went into your second one with Legion, so my next one is. It seems like I have more Marvel on here than I do DC, which is really weird, but it's Fantastic Four. I love that team, and I love almost every incarnation of it. So mostly what got me into the Fantastic Four was the John Byrne era. That's where I started picking it up. Like, I had some earlier issues, like in the 20-cent, 30-cent issue, and I liked it, but I didn't start loving it until John Byrne. Like, I saw one of the first iconic covers I had was, it has Galactus on the cover, and you had a bunch of heroes in the Fantastic Four, like, attacking Galactus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, a big deal back then, because I think it was my first exposure to Galactus. You know, this planet devouring creature, And the concept of heralds, like he'd have the herald go to the Earth first and scope it out. And sometimes he wouldn't even listen to the herald anyway. The herald say, "Don't go here," and he'd like, "I'm gonna eat it anyway." But and then Reed usually come up with some kind of gun or something that would be able to send him away. But yeah, I love the Fantastic Four, and even now, like Marvel 2-in-1, or if it was the Iron Man series that just came out by Bendis, I just love Ben Grimm. God, I love Ben Grimm. There's just something about him that he's like so humble, and he's a monster, and I love Sue Storm too. If I was Sue, I would divorce that man. I just him, he's so scientific and doesn't think he's always calculating stuff, and he doesn't see what's in front of him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's written well, that's the way he's usually written. Like Rick Remender, who am I thinking of? The latest one that is it?
Hickman?
Jonathan Hickman. Hickman's run. He nailed Reed. Like he had he had him like down to a T. But yeah, I the Fantastic Four is my next pick. So go ahead. Oh, you already went, Rob, so go ahead, Chris.
My next one then will be a Marvel one, and I'll go with the Avengers. And that's pretty much not for anything recent. It's more because some of the early comics that I read were Avengers comics from the 80s. Roger Stern and what's his name? Tom Palmer on inks. John Buscema, like that era in particular. But a lot of the Avengers up until like Bendis came along. And I mean, nothing against more recent Avengers, but I kind of like when the Avengers were a little bit more
better.
Focused. just when things were like before the Avengers got as popular as they are now and mm-hmm. became such a huge part of Marvel's publishing line, and they're kind of cease to exist, like any sort of division or like between characters that would probably be on the Avengers and probably wouldn't be a part of the Avengers. Like now there's really like no difference between anybody can be an Avenger, and it kind of, but anyway, because it introduced me to a lot of, this almost sounds contrary, but it introduced me to a lot of the Marvel Universe, because there were a lot of interesting villains, and it was one of the first team books, superhero team books that I read. And so that kind of gives, especially that era, this like the 70s and 80s of the Avengers in particular, will always be important to me for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'll always remember you talked about the Masters of Evil when they broke into the Avengers Mansion.
Yeah, but that storyline was going on when I first started reading Avengers. So, that in particular.
Okay, favorite male and female Avenger.
Oh, jeez.
Mine's Hercules, continued from the champions. Male and female is a Black Widow.
I'm gonna try to just do this one off the top of my head. I really like going back to that same era, and I'll go with people that caught my attention at that time. I'm going to say the Monica Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
In that issue, in that first Avengers issue I read, she speeds, like uses her powers to speed across the universe, and just like stops in Paris for breakfast, and then turns to a light form and heads back to the United States. And I just remember being really fascinated by her powers and as a kid.
That would explain your love for the Flash.
Yeah. I wanted greater mobility, I guess. And
can I guess your favorite male?
Yeah.
Dr. Druid.
No, good guess though.
That's close.
It's kind of a tough one.
Gilgamesh.
Oh. Do you want to think about it? I'll tell you mine.
Well, I mean, I think it's Captain America. I'm just trying to be more original than that. Although I do really like that issue that in particular that I'm talking about opens with Hercules trying to hold up a table with a whole bunch of bar patrons on top of it over his head.
I just love him. He's so
Hercules is pretty hilarious in that. Although, yeah,
arrogant, just like this aura of arrogance. But it's not like Namor arrogance, because Namor's like an asshole. Do you know? He's just arrogant.
Hercules is a lot drunker than Namor.
Yeah,
but but yeah, Captain America, especially at that time, I mean, I keep saying that and keep going back to that, but I was also reading Captain America's solo title and enjoying it at that time too. Mm-hmm. And it was just, things were simpler. Like, you got into Captain America's personal life, and you know, he was. Things weren't as, like, he wasn't always just at the center of these global events going on. Like, he had a little bit more autonomy from S.H.I.E.L.D. and the government and things like that. And like, he would get involved in plots with that kind of stuff, but there was, he also had his supporting cast in his personal life and things like that. And I liked that. You got into the man behind the costume a lot more, and
I couldn't agree more with that. And I'm excited about the fact that now you know, they're saying that S.H.I.E.L.D. is currently disbanded, because I'm hoping they get back to some of that, because you're absolutely right, Chris. You actually got some personal stories with Cap, and I feel like that's been lacking, and probably, oh God, it's been quite a number of years at this point.
Mm-hmm. So who are yours, Rob?
Well, my for male is Captain America all day long. He definitely, I mean, he's one of my favorite heroes. I mean, you said a lot of it, and I started reading Avengers, you know, obviously a little bit earlier than you. It was like in the 220s, and when I think of the Avengers, I think of Captain America. I love Captain America. For females, I honestly don't have a lot of strong feelings for a lot of the female characters for whatever reason, but I'm a huge She-Hulk fan, so I'm going to say She-Hulk. I always enjoy her, whether she's in the Avengers or when she briefly was on the Fantastic Four. I like She-Hulk as a character, so definitely, I'll say She-Hulk.
I think she slept with Hercules.
Man, it always comes back to Hercules.
It comes back.
Yeah.
All right, wow. So you're up now.
All right, I'm going to say, and this is definitely a retro answer because growing up, my favorite team probably was the Justice League of America. And when I'm saying Justice League of America, I'm talking about issues starting in the 170s on up, or 170s, 180s. It's a mix of, you know, all the huge heroes, the Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash, but then you also have like Firestorm, Atom, Hawkman and Hawkgirl, Green Arrow and Black Canary, Red Tornado. He was always a favorite of mine. I just loved that whole run. When I first started buying them, I really got into them hard, but shortly into getting them, George Perez started doing the art for Justice League. And I mean, it was just absolutely incredible. I had no idea who the Martian Manhunter even was until I think it got further into the run where he came back to Earth. Had no idea that he was, I'm like, who's this Martian Manhunter? And why are they saying that he was an original member of the Justice League? I've never heard of this guy. But yeah, that particular time frame of the Justice League, I absolutely love that whole run back in the 80s.
Whose turn is it?
It's yours, Mike. Yours, I think. Unless you want to tell me who your favorite male and female Justice League character is.
Oh, that's tough because there's so many, and you're talking about
the whole
DCU.
I know.
I would say like
that one's easy for me.
I'd say Green Arrow is my favorite male.
Oh wow! See, I wouldn't have expected that.
And mostly from that era, uh-huh. The Satellite era. I just love him in the 80s and 70s and. He was the guy that stood up for the man, you know, like stood up for the everyman.
Well, who's your favorite male DC hero in general?
Flash.
Then why isn't he Flash your favorite Justice League member?
It has to do with it has to do with the team dynamic and stuff.
Yeah.
We're talking about team. Like if it was an individual title, then mm-hmm. I'd say Flash. But just like Avengers, mm-hmm. I didn't say Cap. But Cap is like my third favorite. Cause the other two got, well, I guess Black Panther is an Avenger, so he'd be my top Avenger outside of Hercules that had his own title. But mm-hmm. it has to do with like more of the team flavors, so I'll go with Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And female, I'm gonna have to go with Black Canary.
Oh, the couple, so the power couple,
keeping it together.
I kind of thought
costume wise is different, but we'll have to talk about that some other time. But
I kind of thought that would be your answer to that question. I just wanted to clarify, but yeah, I mean that is interesting.
But you know me,
about.
you knew I was gonna say Flash. I think. I mean, you knew that you'd say, "Well, what's your favorite character?" And that's it's Flash. Right.
But I thought it brought up an interesting point that it could could actually be different.
Mm-hmm.
But despite saying that, I would probably just go because I can't think of how the team dynamic would change it for me, so I'd probably just go with my number one and two favorites anyways. Would happen to conveniently be male and female with the Flash and Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
But
in me, you know, going along with the question, I don't even I'm not even sure that I have good answers. It's hard. It's like, I want to say for this era of the Justice League, Red Tornado, just because I didn't see him really anywhere else, and I really liked him as a character, where I could get a lot of the other characters, you know, in their own own titles. So probably Red Tornado and for females. Yeah, I'm not even sure. I would say probably I'd have to copy Mike and probably say Black Canary, only because I didn't think that Wonder Woman had enough of a, I don't know, you didn't get her full personality, I didn't feel like, in Justice League.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes those smaller characters you got more out of in these team books because they didn't have their own book that they needed to, you know, follow what was going on.
That's exactly what draws me to them, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they'll focus more on, like, who this character is when they have their own book. It's not necessarily the case.
Well, yeah. That's the thing is, like, you know, you're not going to see, for the most part, I mean, you know, there were some exceptions, but you're not going to see some sort of huge storyline of Batman or Superman in the Justice League book because he has his own book where stuff is going on. But at the time, you might see something going on with Green Arrow or Black Canary in Justice League because they either didn't have anything going on or maybe they had, you know, a short backup in, like, Detective Comics or something like that.
I find it interesting that Chris named my favorite characters, though, like male and female. Because Wonder Woman is by far my favorite, but she's not my favorite Justice League. It's the same reasoning that you just talked about, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a better way of answering it. I just don't have, like... I just don't have that type of an answer for the Justice League for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's fine.
All right, Chris, are you up?
Sure. Number three, I'll do the Justice Society / All-Star Squadron. I kind of equate them together. I don't know, not a whole lot to say. I like the history that's there where, I mean, depending on what incarnation you're talking about, and they've had to play around with continuity and have different reasons for these characters, but I like these Golden Age characters being written, especially being written in modern times, but that they're also there with that history that you can go back and look at the Golden Age adventures of these characters. But I love the way that DC has integrated that history into later eras with whether it's, like I said, the All-Star Squadron comic, which is so deeply with Roy Thomas's obsession almost over continuity, is just very deeply integrated into and synchronized with the actual, like, Golden Age publishing and stories. Or you have the Earth 1, Earth 2 crossovers. I just find these characters fascinating. And the JSA series with Geoff Johns wrote a lot of. I love the idea of these slightly older heroes. Especially when they might act as mentors. And I'm a big fan of the idea of legacy of a certain, you know, of, as I've talked about before, of characters taking on the identity of a superhero and trying to live up to that example. And you have a lot of that, especially in later days with the JSA as well, with new characters coming in and wearing the costumes of other characters that have of other people who have passed away and that, so
is that your favorite iteration?
What the JSA?
Yeah, the JSA with the Geoff Johns, the kind of 2000s. Combining the legacy, the original characters with a lot of you know, characters that took their inspiration from.
Yeah, probably. I think so. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just because you have both the history there and the legacy aspect as well. But like I said, I also really love All-Star Squadron for the way that it you have like a late 70s, early 80s comic book style of writing, but the stories take place in the 40s. I think it's really cool too, because I like, you know, the historical setting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
favorite, got to go through the favorites now.
Go ahead.
I know my favorite male is Dr. Midnight.
Oh, okay.
And then female, I have to think about.
This is actually my easiest question so far, Mike.
Yeah, this one I'm going to do Steel as my favorite male. Because I just love the way Geoff Johns wrote him. And I've always been a sucker for him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think female's tough, but I'm going to go with Stargirl.
Mm-hmm. You got your female, or you want me to go on?
You can go ahead. I'm thinking about it.
All right. So first of all, I just want to mention I only have two more teams to mention left, and so GSA is the team that I was going to mention next. Like you, Chris, I like that what Geoff Johns did with, you know, being very, very true to the history of the society rather, and combining those handful of older characters with a lot of new characters, which I mean, it's just fantastic. I absolutely love Justice Society. My favorite male character is by far Jake Garrick, the Flash. I feel like he's definitely especially in this, in that iteration, he was like the, I don't know, the guiding force kind of. Mm-hmm. Of the league, of the society. I keep saying league, but you know what I mean.
He's like female, he's like the heart.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say he's the heart, but then I agree with Mike. My favorite female is Stargirl, and I think in a lot of ways she's can be construed as the heart of the Justice Society too. At least that bridge, that gap between the old and the new characters. Mm-hmm. She really he wrote her very, very well in such a way that she really became, even though she's a new character and a new hero.
He had created her, though.
Yeah, that she's like, I don't even know how to describe it.
That's
kind
his
of
first comic book.
She was kind of like the new hero that the other new heroes look up to, if you know what I mean. So I love both of them. The original Flash and Stargirl, they're two of my favorite characters in general, regardless of what we're talking about. I just absolutely love both of them.
Yeah, she was kind of the, like, once it got later on in the 2000s when it was Justice Society of America spelled out, mm-hmm. She had gone through that experience of being a newbie, and so when they started bringing in more young characters and stuff like that, she could kind of share from her prior experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is that there aren't a ton of female Justice Society characters. For me, I kind of go to more of
Hunkle.
The All-Stars.
That's what Chris is good.
Yeah.
My Hunkle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I thought we were just taking her off the table. Otherwise, we would just all say the same one.
You especially like when she tried to join in the first issue when she ripped her pants. That's where.
Yeah. That's the best part. Yeah.
There's a few, right? There's what's her name? Either Liberty
Power
Bell,
Girl, Jeff, Liberty Power, Bell.
Yep.
Who's the
Huntress?
The girl with,
Huntress
who's,
was
who's
for
the girl
laughs.
That they introduced with the tornado, the green outfit.
Cyclone?
Cyclone, right? Yeah.
Cyclone, yeah.
Hawk Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Hawk Girl is another one that I like.
Yeah, I mean, I like some of those. I the ones I like the best probably are
Wonder Woman
from All-Star Squadron. Well, because I like Liberty Bell. And Jesse Quick, you know, ended up becoming Liberty Bell later on. But I even though there's the legacy aspect of that, like, her mother in All-Star Squadron had a lot of cool moments. So I guess me, either one, doesn't matter, would probably be mine.
Yeah.
Liberty Bell. One or either or. Mom or daughter.
Yeah. And Black Canary was actually in Justice Society as well, especially when they relaunched it with Geoff Johns and, well, actually, first James Robinson.
I like Firebrand, too, from Danette Riley. From
All-Star?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go into my what is this? The third one. It's man, we're really gonna eat the episode with this. Batman and the Outsiders.
That's a good one, Mike.
It was during the era when I was into the Justice League, and I just love how Batman said, "You know, you guys won't do what I need to have done, so I'm gonna make up my own team, and I'm gonna do it my way." And he created. You know, he put this team together, and they've always been one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I still love them. Like there's every incarnation I have to have. Like even when Faust and Technocrat and all those weird characters were in it, I just love the Outsiders.
God, that first run was great, though, and I'm looking at the first cover. I've had enough of your 2-bit Justice League. From now on, these are my new partners.
Yeah, and it has the other guy that rejected the Justice League. So he says, "You jive turkeys."
That's right.
So
that's what I'm talking about with my run of Justice League, too. That was during that.
Yeah, it was. So my favorite. Outsider is Black Lightning, and my favorite female is Katana. So those are my favorites. Do you guys have any?
No, not really. I mean, the Outsiders are kind of interesting for being like a bunch of really. C-list kind of characters, I guess.
Well, some created for the Outsiders, so
yeah. I mean, I think Black Lightning's a cool character, but I don't care about them. None of the characters on the team would be very high in any sort of list of my favorite characters. So,
well, you had Nightwing; he was in there.
Yeah, I guess I think of that as like a totally different team, but that's true.
Well, if
I'm just kind of, yeah, I wasn't really thinking
that original run. I guess, as long as he counts, my favorite character would be Batman, male character. For female, it would be Katana as well. She's a very, very interesting character, I think.
All right, next.
Who's okay, I got two left, next, I think, right? Yeah.
I only have one left, so.
Yeah, because you've had a lot of Chris's, so.
Yeah, I have duplicates.
You've kind of duplicates.
Yeah, I'm stealing all Rob's.
No, I'm just copying you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I'll keep going before you then.
Yeah, I know.
If you don't have my number two, I'll just say my number one.
A big copycat.
That's probably one of them.
You can guess what my number one is.
X-Men.
Yeah.
How many did you have though? Did you have five?
Mm-hmm.
What were them?
JLA.
Legion, JLA. Yep.
Invaders.
Oh, okay.
Justice Society.
I think I fell asleep when you said the Invaders.
Oh, that's not very nice.
I'm not. That's not a comment on the Invaders. I just don't remember it happening.
Oh, that was a comment on the Invaders.
He was busy looking out the window at mustaches or something. The mustache guys.
So my number two, actually, that's funny. I'm not changing it. This is for real. What was going to be my number two is the X-Men.
The X-Men. Well, how do you like that? That's my number one.
Oh, go.
Can you believe that?
Go figure. Huh. But a lot of the same reasons. It's kind of similar for me to the Avengers, again, because it's a Marvel team. I was way more into the X-Men as time rolled on, and I read more and more comics. I definitely became more of an X-Men fan, and it was all about the X-Men and Spider-Man for me as a kid. And the X-Men actually got me back into comics in college when the X-Men movie was going to come out, and I was thinking back to how much I was into the X-Men when I was a kid. And I both picked up some X-Men Essentials and read for the first time the Claremont stuff, but also got back into current comics, and as it turned out, I didn't think too much of the X-Men comics that were being published at that time, but it got me into the comic shop, and I tried a whole bunch of other stuff. And again, like the Avengers, like I don't, like over recent years, I've sampled some X-Men comics. I don't really care too much about the X-Men nowadays as they currently stand.
How dare you, sir? I'm just kidding.
But yeah, definitely up until like the 90s or whatever.
Yeah.
It'll always be on my list for that time period.
I'll just throw my two cents in since that's my number one too. I think when if I pick an era too of X-Men, I enjoy the Claremont and Paul Smith era. Basically, you got your core group, Cyclops, Storm, Colossus, Wolverine, Kitty Pryde, and Nightcrawler, and Rogue. So that for me, that's like my dream team. That's what obviously it has a lot to do sometimes with what you first picked up back when you first saw them, and that was true of me. It was those core characters, and then about a year into me buying them, then Rogue joined. So I just loved that whole run from like 160 on up through the probably the mid 200s were some of my favorite issues. I love them. If we want to talk about our favorite female and male characters for the X-Men, I can say just real quick, my favorite female was and still is Kitty Pryde. I would not be upset if they continue to call her Shadow Cat. I thought that was a pretty good code name. I don't know why they've gotten away from that, and she just has no code name at all. Again, at this point, I thought Shadow Cat was a pretty good one. And then for male character, especially back then, before he became just everywhere, was definitely Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
What about you guys?
Wolverine was my favorite probably when I was a kid, because most kids like Wolverine.
Well, I thought it was just written so well. And I mean, he only appeared in X-Men, and he just was written really, really well. He kind of, I thought, became a little bit watered down when, you see him everywhere. But
yeah. Yeah, they've kind of ruined him for me. Favorite as a kid, another favorite as a kid, and still probably my favorite now is Nightcrawler.
Mm-hmm. You guys took my answers.
Female. I think I would go with Jean Grey. That's
right.
Tough, though, because I like Rogue, I like Psylocke, I like Storm. I like Mohawk Storm a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tough, but I think I probably would go with Jean Grey.
Mine is Nightcrawler and Kitty Pryde, and Nightcrawler, my X-Men change. Like, they don't ever stay the same favorites, but Nightcrawler is always in the top. But I would say when I was younger, Wolverine for sure. And he still should be, but I think the overuse is... And you can see by my picks that I don't like... I like my teams to be B-listers or C-listers, or those are the ones that I bond to in the team. But Nightcrawler and Kitty Pryde. Kitty Pryde, ever since I had the Christmas issue, like there's one where she has her costume and she's on the cover, and there's one of those broods after her, I think.
It's a Nagari, I think.
Mm-hmm. That
it's issue number 143. I know it by heart.
Yeah, I love that issue.
Yeah.
And then she's always been, like, whether she's an Excalibur or whatever, she's always been a character that I've always enjoyed.
She's just a very likable character.
I like Cyclops, too, but I like him more in non-traditional Cyclops, like, with the complexity of trying to be the leader over the course of the last, I don't know, 15 years.
You like Dick Cyclops?
Yeah, I like him a lot because it makes me think of, like, if you're in that situation, the tough decisions that you have to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand kind of where he's coming from. Like, it's a big deal to try to keep your people alive and try to move forward at the same time. So sometimes you have to have a group like, hey, Wolverine, you need to have this X-Force and take your kid with you, or X-23, kill all these people. I like him.
Very cool.
Emma Frost is up there, too. Nobody mentioned her, but I like her a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
What's your number one, Mike?
Actually, I still have two and one because you guys double team almost on everything. But let me just say, guess my number one.
Freedom Fighters.
Oh God, they didn't make the list, believe it or not.
What? The Freedom Fighters?
No, they're in my top 10 for sure. But
See, I'm not even really trying. I'm trying to think of, like, random shit that's not going to be.
Well, I'll just mention
it. I'm not helping.
my top two are Defenders is number one.
Oh, I should have known.
My number two is Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
I love those teams. And these are teams these are teams that I've read every single comic. Like, some of the other ones I'm... Well, I guess with the other ones I've read every single, except for Fantastic Four, I've read every single comic ever made of these teams. Every incarnation, everything that's ever come out. Even Fearless Defenders, which was the female.
But I liked that run actually quite a bit.
Yeah, but I love Suicide Squad. The concept of when they came out with them, after Legends, the incarnation, some of the strongest characters, and I'll tell you my favorite on Suicide Squad is Amanda Waller and Deadshot. They're my favorite, even though Captain Boomerang is up there, man. I have so many favorites in Suicide Squad, but Amanda Waller is kind of like the glue that makes the team, and she has like those Cyclops. Maybe that's why I have the characters that are really shades of gray, like. They have to make tough decisions, and they do it for whatever they think is right, but it might not always be right, but you have to make the decision because it's spur of the moment. Amanda Waller, I love the way she stands up to Batman. She's not scared of anything. She's pretty much fearless. And Deadshot, not only for having one of the best costumes ever in comics, but I just love Floyd. I love the complexity of him having a daughter and him being suicidal, and that's what makes him the most dangerous. Is he just goes on these missions and he always does what he has to do. And there's one issue that came out recently where Amanda and him are talking, and they're like, "Why? You know, we're two characters that could never do anything otherwise. You know, this is what we choose to do because it's the only life we know." And I love those characters. So, do you guys have any favorite Suicide Squad members? Hey, you said the same time. It's almost like in harmony. It's like you're like. I thought you were gonna do a barbershop quartet or something like that.
I honestly don't think I do. I mean, I like Deadshot, but I don't think I could.
Pick. You have trouble with the females, Rob. That's
well, it depends. I didn't. I didn't for Legion or for X-Men or for Justice Society. Those were high on my list. But no, I don't think there's any that really stick with me. And obviously there's some, you know, there's like obvious ones now, but I think that's one of the reasons why I don't like Suicide Squad quite as much currently than I did in the older ones. It's because it's like this stat right now, it's a static team that, you know, none of them are going to die. As opposed to the one, you know, in the 80s where like they actually killed off characters. Now it's like, it's this core group of whatever, six characters that are always on the team that nothing's going to happen to. But I don't know. I don't think I can think of a memorable female one, at least back from the 80s run. I mean, I know we had Enchantress, but I don't have any real strong feeling about her.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way that Rob does. I like the 80s Suicide Squad. I don't really care for the newer Suicide Squad, but I don't so much look at the individual characters as I like it as like a squad of minor characters that I like the concept, I guess. And I haven't read a lot of that either, though. I would like to, but so yeah, I don't really have any. But yeah, if I had thought about it instead of just trying to like joke around, I probably could have thought of those as your top two, Mike.
You should have said Captain Boomerang because he's got the Flash connection.
No, I mean Captain Boomerang probably would be. I think. The female would be harder, I think. So what's my number one then?
What's your number one?
Yeah.
Gosh. Maybe Mike had. I don't have a guess.
Do you have a guess?
Teen Titans.
Yep.
Oh my God! Of course.
The new Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Specifically. Yeah. Just. I mean. A lot of it's for Kid Flash. He's obviously my favorite male member, but I mean, he did leave. And I still really like the team a lot, you know, in the time periods that he wasn't a part of it. And my favorite female would be Raven. You know, and that's kind of funny, like Mike said, a lot of his... I'd like to have Mike's list because I'd like to be more different. but my list is a lot of big name teams and stuff. And my top two were kind of the two superhero teams back in the 80s, you know? Yeah. But what are you going to do? I'm here to tell the truth, people.
Teen Titans is a good one. I hadn't thought. I kind of forgot about that, and I shouldn't have, but, I mean, that's a great team. I love the new Teen Titans.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, Wolfman, Perez, Teen Titans, I mean, that's high on a lot of people's lists, at least above a certain age, you know, of reader. And up till you know, a certain point, even, you know, certain stretches without Perez, I haven't read all the way through everything that Wolfman wrote, because he was on the book for a really long time. Titans Hunt, that era and stuff, like, I haven't read all of that.
That's when I got back into it after dropping off for a while, is that Titans Hunt?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that that's, like, after it kind of dips down for a while, that was, like, the last, like...
hurrah?
Kind of last hurrah for Wolfman's run to kind of, like, got people's interest again and stuff, but... yeah, you know, a lot of it comes from Wally, but I also really like Robin's journey for a lot of similar reasons of, like, yeah, I mean, I really love, that's one of the things I do really, I really love about it is Robin's journey, Dick Grayson's journey, specifically from Robin, like, growing in confidence to learn his own team, to learn that he can be a leader of his own, and, obviously culminating in becoming, Nightwing, and, I love that journey, but, you know, a lot of it is also Wally's journey that eventually leads him to becoming the Flash. And but you just have a lot of, each one of the different characters are, like, Wolfman and Perez put a lot of work into crafting a specific team. I think they kind of differ from the X-Men in that regard, which is not a, you know, not... one's not necessarily better than the other, but I like especially that initial seven. This interesting mix of established characters and some new characters that those two guys at that time, even with some of the villains that they created, like Deathstroke, I mean, they were just really firing like on all cylinders and creating characters that stood the test of time in that early run. And they really thought specifically like about the composition of that team. Like, we're going to have these many characters, to have three out of the four or three out of the seven be female, was a lot for the time. Each character is unique, has like a different look, a different profile. As Perez went on, he just got better and better at drawing them and really refining that aspect of it. So I just think that they're just a really quintessential superhero team, like really well designed. And
well, each character was, no matter if they were an older character from the 60s or earlier, or a new created character, they're all fully realized with interesting backstories and history. I mean, they weren't just, none of them were just like, you know, a cardboard cutout. They all were very rich in terms of story. Like, you could tell a story based on any one of those characters, which is very hard to do sometimes.
Each one, very, very good. Exactly. Like, each one has different interests. Like, they're really well-developed characters. They're some of the characters that seem the most real to me. That seem almost like they're not, like they really exist out there somewhere because of how richly they're developed, and you have such a broad spectrum. But it was still, they're individually so different from each other, but they also have a way of they're being convincing as a unit. You know, and that developed over time. You know, as they got to know. Some of them obviously knew each other already, but as they got to know Starfire and like understand her, and they just really created a awesome balance of different personalities.
I would go so far as, now obviously me, my favorite team historically has been the X-Men, and I absolutely love the stories, but I would argue that the new Teen Titans, they did a better job of, like you said, with fully developing each character. I think they even did a better job than Claremont did necessarily with with the X-Men characters. I loved the stories that he told in the X-Men, but in terms of some of the characters, that probably, I mean, they all had their history, and he did develop each character, but I think that the Teen Titans were more fully developed than even the X-Men characters were, because they were kind of popular at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. And just absolutely, yeah. I mean, he did a great job. Wolfman did a great job developing these characters, and obviously the art was just incredible.
That's what put DC back on the map.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they finally had a title that was a hit. For a while there, they were hurting.
Yeah.
And this one actually became more popular than the X-Men at one point.
Yeah. What a crazy. It's awesome.
My favorite would be Dick Grayson and I guess Donna Troy. I have a harder time with the Titans, like, picking a favorite. Like, what you guys had with Suicide Squad, I would just say those two.
Mine is definitely Kid Flash. No surprise there. With just like Chris said, I mean, he's my favorite Flash for sure, and Flash is one of my favorite characters ever. In terms of female, I probably would be more obscure. Probably would go for actually Bumblebee. I like her as a character. I'd like to see her continue being shown in the current team, although I don't know if that's going to happen.
I like the new series. I know you were on since the beginning, but it grew on me after that first arc for sure.
It definitely has been. It's gotten stronger. I would definitely agree. It's gotten stronger than how it started.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It would.
But you know what we didn't do?
I'm not totally caught up, but I wonder what Chris would think about Wally's situation.
I know. Yeah. We need to maintain. I mean, that was the draw into Rebirth, so we can't have Wally be sidelined. He's very important, I think.
Something major happened to Wally, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I know. The last thing I knew was that he had a heart condition. He found out he has a heart condition, but.
And using the speed doesn't help.
No.
Yeah.
It actually deteriorates. It's almost like if he's speeding up his clock.
Yeah, which is interesting because it's like they're reusing the pre-crisis circumstance that he was in.
Wasn't it with Lilith too at that time, or am I thinking of something else? Like around that time frame when Flash had issues.
What about Lilith?
Lilith was around.
She was around, yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, she didn't like, she wasn't made official, but she ended up helping out, like, when, like, Raven got to be at her worst and Trigon mm-hmm. was back for the second time.
Yeah.
At the beginning of, like, the Baxter run and stuff, Lilith was around a lot, and then she kind of drifted away again.
Well, my number one is Defenders, and I just love this team. I love their dynamic. You guys probably don't know them that much, but they're so odd. Like all the teams that we've talked about, like they have like common themes and values and such. The Defenders are the odd man out to me. Like they're a team that's so hard to describe, and the stories are so convoluted, and Steve Gerber did, you talk about characterization of characters, he really delves into each character every issue, and some of them I wouldn't even say are heroes, like Nighthawk, who's my favorite. He's not my favorite because he's the best hero, but because he's just fascinating to me. Like, he's not, I don't know. Every time I read something about him, he's just so dynamic. And then my favorite female is Valkyrie. She's pretty much the one that that's on there a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Hellcat a lot later on in the series, and you have, I'm in the Red Guardian phase rereading it right now, and she's the Russian, which is really cool. Yeah, Defenders, I beat to death on this podcast. I make you guys read them. but the social commentary about, like, just what's happening at the time, like, is really deep. Like, there's a lot of messages in Defenders that are there. And I love, that's my favorite era of the Hulk, is when he's just a monster. And he's he has to be controlled very much like he's controlled in the movies, like with the female touch, like Black Widow or whatever. But he just rages out. That's my number one.
So I don't totally copy you, because I do like Nighthawk, but Valkyrie is my favorite female character on the team. But I think just to be a little different, I will tell you that I would probably say that Gargoyle is my favorite male on the team.
That's when you
a little
had
bit
the,
later on.
That's when you had the champions.
Mm-hmm.
You had
a little bit later on.
Iceman and Abe, the X-Men connection.
But that was, yeah, that was probably, that's when I first started really getting into the Defenders, is where it almost became the new
X-Men.
Defenders with Cloud and Beast and Angel, yep, and
Iceman. You had three key
Gargoyle
X-Men
and back, Valkyrie.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Moondragon, I think, was in there for a little bit. Yep. Yeah, that was my Defenders team, and it was canceled shortly after that, still. Yeah.
That's an
My favorite female defender is Rosario Dawson with the centaur body.
Oh, oh gosh. That.
Oh boy.
What is with the Rosario Dawson and the centaur?
I don't know. I just remember. Bringing it back from Nerdy Legion.
How about those knuckles, Chris?
Yeah, how about those knuckles?
My favorite's no, I don't know who my favorite is. I'm just making jokes about the TV show.
All right,
which I haven't even seen actually.
I haven't seen it either, to tell you the truth. I haven't seen Cage yet, and I'm watching them in order, so I'm really
behind. I have seen Cage, and then I watched a couple episodes of Iron Fist, and then drifted away, and haven't watched any Marvel Netflix since.
I think me and you are in the same boat right now, Mike. I think the last one that I watched was Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
So that would be Luke Cage would be next, which
next.
I haven't watched any of.
At some point, I gotta get to that, but I lose. I'm a mood watcher as I am a mood reader. And I can't stay focused very often and finish anything off.
Once I started, I need to which I'm sure is not a surprise to either one of you, that once I started, I need to continue through it, like without just stopping for long periods of time. And so knowing that about me, I haven't been in the mood to actually buckle down and watch all whatever 13, I guess I'm assuming 13 episodes.
Well, I'll remind you that next list is the top 5 gifts we've received.
Oh yeah.
So that's coming up on the next episode, and I'll probably keep the same format. I guess I got to pick a book.
Yeah.
And, that'll wrap up like our heavy duty questions, or we could come up with more if you want in the future. This was a good one, because even though we had a lot of the lists, like I knew at least three of your guys's, just talking to you. I knew X-Men was on it. I knew Avengers, and there was a couple of surprises, but I've talked to you guys enough to know more or less what your favorites. Matter of fact, Freedom Fighters should have knocked off FF. I mean, now that I think about it, but
He just needed a team on there with the initials FF.
FF, yeah. That's yeah, what I needed. Yeah.
Fantastic Four Freedom Fighters.
So that'll
Fighters.
Be coming up next week. If you guys want to participate and give us your lists, you could send them to me at Micah Comic Book Noise, and then I'll make sure I read them off. Or you can tweet me them at Mike Myers Brunch, or say something on Facebook if we're friends, or go to the website at Geek Brunch Podcast. But we're located at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Chris is at MythMakingETC. Rob is at Rob Krieger. What else? Did I miss anything? Leave an iTunes review let us know.
I'll go with Overmind and Red Guardian.
That's the Russian girl I was talking about. She's fascinating. She's the one that she reassembled Nighthawk's brain after the headman took it out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Doctor Strange calls her in Russia, and she goes, you're a neurosurgeon, and you're the only one that could put his brain back in. And they have it, like, in a bowl.
Those are some deep cuts, Chris.
Inside of his Septum Centaurium.
I definitely didn't look those up on Wikipedia. Or
no, I didn't think so.
You know
so.
Who's one of my favorite defenders now? And he's not even a hero? Is Jack Norris, the husband of... you kind of talked about him a little bit, Chris, but the husband of Valkyrie. He's absolutely fascinating. And right now there's like a green leprechaun with a gun who's manipulating people's minds. And... he made Jack Norris lose his mind where he says, well, you can buy me off and I'll leave. And he said, Nighthawk writes him a check for $30,000 to get the hell out of it. Out of there. $300,000 just to leave. Series is crazy.
Real quick, Mike, I wanted to just tell you that I've watched the first 5 episodes of The End of the Fucking World.
Oh, my God.
I love it. I love it.
You know what? If you understand like the beginning and you see how it
have
ends,
you finished it yet? Or
yes.
No?
Yes.
Okay. Don't spoil it.
I'm
don't
not
spoil it.
Spoil it, but it's very. Okay. Oh my God! We'll have to talk about it when you see the ending.
Okay.
Because it's really something special.
It's really interesting to me. I'm looking for it in the comic base. I'm not finding it. I thought it was based on a...
It is based on a comic book, but...
But it's not called the same thing? Or?
It was self-published, so sometimes when they're self... Like, Bill bought it when at a convention, but I don't think it was solicited through Diamond.
Oh, okay.
So he had read it. I want to read it now to see how close it is.
I want to read it now, too. Yeah.
Because... Man, it's like a modern day masterpiece. I put it up there really high, but especially if you look at it as a whole.
Oh, hi, Mabel.
Yeah, it's good.
Hi. Are you done barking?
There's only you're only 3 episodes away, right? Isn't there?
Yeah, I only have 3 episodes. What happened in the last one is they just after they had separated the episode before, she walked out on him.
Yeah.
Stuck through the bathroom, and now they got back together at the restaurant right at the end of the episode. So
yeah.
I only have 3 more left. Yeah.
Oh man.
It's really
the end.
It's
the
really
ending,
good.
The ending got me really emotional, and I don't usually get like real emotional with his works because I think I've read everything that he's done except for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like I bought Slasher, I bought the other one, I bought all his Revengers. So I've read everything he's done, minus that.
Mm.
He's really interesting.
I'm seeing it on Amazon, and I could even get it just on Comixology if I just want to read it. It's only $8.50. Yeah, which is probably better than the paperback, which is $198.97.
Yeah.
But I could get the hardcover for $18.54, so.
Yeah, but if you're a true collector.
I got to get the original paperback?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is just a reprint, you know. The paperback is the real thing.
The original.
Yeah.
Bill Bomer has it. He should put it up for sale.
He definitely should. With seven used from $198.97, or you can get a new one for $750.08.
Yeah. He should do that. I'll tell him. And then he can buy a new one because they're going to reissue it.
Yeah, they're reissuing it. So what does he care?
Yeah.
Very nice.
All right. Well, you guys have a good Sunday, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
And thank you, guys.
I'll try to get those books packaged together today. So.
Oh, don't worry about it. Mike, seriously, thank you. I'll be sending you some money your way.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's only three.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of work to do when you come over here. So.
I can't wait.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Scott. Bye.